CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. In dueling rallies last night before New Hampshire's polls opened, the last two Republicans vying for the presidential nomination accused each other of being unelectable.
If you want a losing candidate who puts America last, vote for Nikki Haley.
We can't be a country in disarray and have a world on fire and go through four more years of chaos because we won't survive it.
The six registered voters in Dixville Notch assembled just after midnight to cast their ballots, first of the first, all six voting Haley. On a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court ruled federal agents can remove razor wire fencing Texas put up in the Rio Grande to keep migrants out. Texas planning to keep the razor wire in place. That was quick. Hours after 29,000 faculty members in the California State University system went on strike, their union announced a tentative agreement declaring it makes major gains for the faculty members. This is ABC News. Take care of that prostate. Prostate cancer killed one of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s sons.
Personal tributes being extended far and wide on the passing of Dexter Scott King, the youngest son and the third child of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his sister Dr. Bernice King expressing her heartbreak. His brother Martin Luther King III saying the sudden shock is devastating. The Reverend Al Sharpton adding Dexter was only 7 when his hero, his role model, and most importantly his father was taken from us. He turned that pain into activism. Dexter Scott King served as chairman and longtime leader of the King Center. He died of prostate cancer and was 62. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Outside Philadelphia in Hatboro, Pennsylvania, Christopher Casey's charged with third-degree murder for stabbing next-door neighbor Robert Wallace to death in a feud over Casey's loud snoring that Wallace claimed could be heard through the wall separating their homes. Casey jailed on $1 million bail. I'm Richard Cantu. ABC News.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd. Where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance. I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Sandra Rank from Sandra Rank Realty joins us to talk about the real estate market at 7:30. Mine on the Mayor, 6 to 8 on WGBW and WISS.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy with some areas of freezing drizzle, even a couple of snow showers possible today. Our high right around 34 this afternoon. Tonight we'll drop to 31, still a little light freezing drizzle or snow possible. And then tomorrow, cloudy with rain showers, 36. And we're going to keep it warm with highs well into the 30s through the rest of the week, the weekend, and beyond. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
On farm, that's the number for our talk text line. Again, let me know if you got any snow or rain overnight. Just include your name and location so I can read it on air. Again, that number is 877-301-3276. For today, we're looking at 1 to 3 inches, at least in the Madison area. Temperatures will sit in the low to mid 30s. And tonight, those clouds will persist and it's going to be foggy. Our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck, will be with us shortly with more specifics on the snowy and rainy mix coming this week. The weather is not going to stop us from heading to the UW-Madison campus today for the 2024 Ag Outlook Forum. The fabulous Farm Babe will be your MC. Charity and I will be there as well. This year's topic centers around rural livability, and you can watch for pictures on our Facebook page. In other news, probably one of the most competitive jobs in the state of Wisconsin is accepting applications. I'm talking about the 77th Allison Dairyland position with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. If you or someone you know is passionate about telling the story of agriculture, this is the job for you. Applications are due January 31st. You can find more details at MidwestFarmReport.com. It's Tuesday, and that means market advisor John Heinberg joins us live later in the hour from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. If you've got questions for him or would like him to glance into his crystal ball for something specific, you can text us through our talk text line at 877-301-3276. Include your name and where you're from. Before that, we'll get an update on a very complex issue that will have a profound impact on milk prices. It's all coming up.
How does the Dairy Checkoff measure and report its return on investment to its farmers?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of different ways. You know, the Texas A&M does an annual study, and I think the last one was for every dollar that is spent and invested for a farmer money, that's like a $4.78 return. But really, there's so many different ways to look at that. You know, dairy per capita consumption has increased by 80 pounds per person, or about 2.2 pounds per year. Our dairy consumption has grown 6% in the last 5 years alone. One of the measurables that we have is we invest in PR, which is where we provide story ideas to editors and newsrooms around the country. And then if they pick those stories up, they'll tell them for free. We earned over $70 million in publicity in PR last year across major news networks, local news networks, farm networks everywhere. It's pretty cool that we were able to spend $1 million and get $70 million worth of media investment return.
Chad Vincent, CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, along with us. If you have questions, head on over to wisconsindairy.org and don't hesitate to reach out to them.
Leadership has changed at the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. The new president for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation is Brad Olson. I want to find out more about Brad and his operation.
All right. Thank you, Jill. Yes, as you said, Brad Olson, new president of Wisconsin Farm Bureau. I live in northern Polk County. My wife, Vicki, of 35-plus years, and we have a son and a daughter, two grandsons, and me and my son crop farm about 600 acres and then do some custom work for some local neighbors here.
What kind of crops do you grow?
Corn, alfalfa, soybeans mainly, a little bit of rye.
And from being in the field, you decided to go into the leadership of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau. When did you start getting involved?
Actually, my story is a little different. I have spent 20 years in local government on the town board, been on the county board here for 8 years, and a couple of years ago decided to make a run for the State Farm Bureau Board. Actually just joined Farm Bureau as an organization in February of 22, ran for the state board in December of 22, was elected, and now was elected president in December now. So I will admit my time at Farm Bureau is short and kind of maybe an unheard of story, but that does not mean that my desire to move Farm Bureau and agriculture in Wisconsin, that is my passion, to move it forward and to make people realize all of the good things that agriculture does, from growing their food to all of the great environmental work we do. We need to get that out there and let the other 98.5% of the people who don't grow the world's food understand what we do.
But do you think that other start in government maybe helps you to put a different aspect to looking at the Farm Bureau and what it can do for its members?
I think so. Sometimes in any organization, sometimes an organization needs that, can I say, look from the outside. And I am, at least for Wisconsin Farm Bureau, I am that look from the outside. The new one who has worked on local agriculture issues and fought for agriculture on the local level for a number of years here through the county board. But I think it's always good for an organization to have a look from the outside. And like I say, it's a short tenure at Farm Bureau, but no one is more dedicated or would be more dedicated to the future of, and success of Farm Bureau and our farmers around the state.
And from the county board to Farm Bureau, are you seeing any of the similarities as you get started?
Yeah, I would say yes. You know, for the most part, all boards are somewhat the same. You know, kind of run the same, function the same, regardless of the organization. It isn't necessarily, you know, all brand new walking through the door, we'll say, because so much of, you know, anywhere from the town board, the county board, to the state board at Farm Bureau, they all function in a way the same. Different, and yet at the end of the day, everything kind of rolls along the same. So from that standpoint, just having been in it a number of years, you know, even in different organizations, helps a lot, just understanding how things work and move.
Policies are a big concern or something that the Wisconsin Farm Bureau looks at a lot. What are some of the policies at the state level that you think are important to focus on to help out our farmers and the rural community?
We were down and testified at the assembly hearing on our health care bill, 860, which would allow us to sell health insurance through Tennessee Farm Bureau. I think that's a big deal for our agricultural community. And I think otherwise, just beyond that, I've asked the board members at the next meeting to come back with ideas to have 3 to 5 kind of top priorities from our policy book, and maybe 3 to 5 secondary priorities that we put a little more focus on. Not that we don't focus on the rest of the book as well, but move a few things to the front and work on them. If that's things that, you know, that we support or things that we oppose, but that are very important to farmers all across the state, and focus on them a little more than the others. And like I say, that doesn't mean we're not focusing on the rest of the policy. It's just something has to be at the top of the list, kind of. So we'll see what works out there. That will be a complete board decision as to where we go, and hopefully by sometime in February we can have what the board's policy goals are.
Well, you've already testified about the health insurance part. What do you think is going to surface to the top as the importance coming from the other board members? And you have a take in this too, because you are part of that board. What do you want to focus on?
For me, and this is kind of bigger than Wisconsin, but I had an individual tell me just the other day their milk check was $12.50 a hundred after trucking. So, you know, we're looking at milk prices, and that's the low. Mainly what I've been hearing is at $15, $16, but $15, $16 is not sustainable, I don't think, for any dairy farm in 2024. So that's a big issue. It's much bigger than a state issue by all means, but I've been reaching out to other states here, and hopefully after the annual meeting, a number of, we'll say, dairy states can sit down, have a discussion, and see if there's an interest in moving forward and at least just, you know, taking a look and seeing if there's what's out there for ideas that can potentially help the milk price around the country, and not just even in Wisconsin, but around the country. For our dairy farmers right now, that's a big thing.
What do you think some of the other boards are going to come back with for their ideas?
I think energy will be close to the top. Of course, transportation is, you know, is always there. Our roads around the state took a horrible beating this last winter. So we know that transportation is going to be big. I think energy on the renewable side of things, you know, there's a bit of discussion if people are, you know, pro or against, you know, for or against solar or wind. And that's a tough one for anybody to tackle. But I think those are some of the conversations that we'll be having. And then we'll, like I said earlier, we'll just see what the board decides and where we head for priorities and where Wisconsin Farm Bureau wants to move forward on.
Conversations are so important, whether it's at the board level or getting out to the legislators. And the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation has an event coming up, Ag Day at the Capitol. When is that, and what's that going to look like?
Ag Day at the Capitol is January 31st. Registration is open now until the 25th of January at a discounted rate, and then after that, I think, goes up $10. Registration starts at 11. Meeting starts at 11:30 till 2:30, and then I walk over to the Capitol to see your local legislators somewhere between 3 and 5.
Do attendees need to make their own appointments with their legislators?
They do not. Staff has it set up with has appointments with the legislators from around the state. So those are already set or being set to meet with either your legislator or your legislator's staff. And I think it's very important to understand that, you know, sometimes we worry that, well, we didn't get to talk to our assembly person, our state senator, but it is equally, if not even more important, to talk to their staff, because those are the boots on the ground people that are taking these calls and making the notes. So never feel bad if you don't get to talk to the elected official. As I said, it's equally important to talk to their staff.
And the Wisconsin Farm Bureau has a meeting ahead of time to bring up some of the policies that are going to be on the table, per se. What do you think some of those policies are going to be talked about with the attendees and the legislators?
I think this year, there again, the Farm Bureau Health Plan is at the top of the list. We're close. As I said earlier, we had a meeting with the Assembly Committee next Thursday. They're in front of the Senate Committee. So we'll say it's time now to make the push on health care. So that is really going to be our focus, to get the word out, get our people out to their legislators on both sides of the aisle and urge them to vote for something that our members need and want, but something that really is needed in especially in rural Wisconsin, I would say.
Face-to-face meetings, and that's the Ag Day at the Capitol on January 31st, starting with a registration at 11. Pre-register by going to the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation website, and that's the newly elected president for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, Brad Olson. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Mino and the Mayor.
I've always been a big Rod Stewart fan.
Love him.
First song I ever made out to was Maggie May.
Did you see him?
You know what I remember? I had a runny nose. Well, I was a freshman in high school. We were going to a basketball game.
John, I think that's enough.
It's first date. Going with this other couple. The guy had a pickup truck. We rode the back. And I know my nose rubbed against her cheek. And I'm thinking, I wonder if I need to wipe that off.
Jeez. God. I used to like Rod Stewart.
Love Rod Stewart.
Yeah. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8. On the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. And Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or are covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Where the fans own the team. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Live near Easttown Mall.
If your conversations always start with the weather, welcome to the Midwest Farm Report.
And I imagine weather might dominate the conversation today with the predicted snow that's to come down in some areas of Wisconsin. I'm Stephanie Hoff, back along with you on a Tuesday morning. Stu Muck joins us, our ag meteorologist. Stu, I'm mostly concerned about the road conditions as I maneuver around downtown Madison for the 2024 Ag Outlook Forum. What can you tell us about the coming precipitation and what that might mean for people on the road?
Stephanie, I think it's going to mean that conditions aren't going to be ideal. You know, we're actually having some winter weather now. Temperatures are very mild, but that does bring around that mix of precipitation, that possibility of a little of this, a little of that, certainly entering into the picture today. A front's dropped in out of the northwest. Moisture is built up out of the south, and the radar indicating a little mix of some rain and freezing rain in far southeast Wisconsin, Racine, Kenosha County, parts of Walworth County. I'd say there looks to be just a little snow in eastern Green and western Rock County as well, right on the Illinois border. In fact, I have a report here, Racine, saying 0.02 of an inch as of 5 a.m., so just reporting in with some of that new activity. It's southern Wisconsin that's going to see more activity with a low-pressure system moving up from the southwest, and that's why winter weather advisory is in effect in and south of a Grant, Iowa, Dane, Dodge County, Washington, Ozaukee County. Everybody south of that is in that winter weather advisory till about 2 this afternoon because of the mix of some rain, maybe a little freezing rain, sleet and snow. An inch, maybe a little more in eastern Wisconsin may accumulate. For most of us, it's an inch or less, but it will be wet, and it could have a little freezing rain component and may freeze once it hits that blacktop that's finally opened up now with the snow coming off. So you may find those slippery spots and stretches. That's the big deal today. We hold on to some of that moisture and mild air, but we could again be talking of a little rain, freezing rain mix into Wednesday or into Thursday as well. Those temperatures staying very mild, well above normal, pushing into the upper 30s here as we head toward Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Very mild indeed as we head toward the end of January. I'll have forecast details right after this.
What does supporting rural communities look like? At Compeer Financial, we believe it starts with giving back. That's why we are here, with grants that invest in the communities we serve to help beginning farmers, fund agricultural education, support first responders, stimulate economic growth, and partner with causes that matter to our clients. Visit Compeer.com to learn more. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Stu, I agree, when the wind or the air isn't biting my face, it feels warm out, like tropical almost, which it sounds like maybe we'll see some of that later this week with the upper 30s.
Yeah, we get that warm up here for the end of the week, Stephanie. It sounds fantastic. But yeah, it's the change. It's that mild air that's being pushed into the area. The reason that we have to talk about this mix of precipitation, but none of it is going to be all that heavy. I don't expect that we're going to build up a half inch of ice or anything like that. Most of the accretion I'm seeing here is going to be a 1/100 of an inch or something like that, you know, just enough to make it slick and slippery. That's what we have to watch out for, especially now about the next 2 or 3 days. So, in fact, with that winter weather advisory this morning in southern Wisconsin until 2 this afternoon, we're all in for cloudy skies and a little mixture of some snow, freezing rain, and sleet. Rain a little more likely later on in the day as the temperatures warm up a bit, some fogginess, kind of a hazy day in store, just above freezing, 33, 34 degrees with east winds about 5 to 10, clouds and some fog overnight, and we drop back to freezing or just below. I think a cool one tomorrow might be 31, and our east winds will be around 5 tomorrow. Again, with cloudy skies, some fog, a little rain, maybe some freezing rain mixing in light amounts. Temps tomorrow back up in the mid-30s, 36 or so. East winds 5 to 10. Thursday, kind of the same. Still a little rain or some fog around. Cloudy skies about 38. The north winds 5 to 10. Upper 30s on Friday, Stephanie. Sounds very mild indeed, but it does leave us with this wet, kind of questionable stuff.
Yeah, very wet week. And as you said, kind of the good news is that it's not quite as measurable as it was that we saw earlier this month. But definitely be careful on the roadways. Slow down. Use caution. I know I've got a lead foot, Stu, but I'm telling myself to keep it down.
Yep. And turn on your headlights. Oh,
Is that, do you come across that often? People don't have their headlights on?
Absolutely. I'll see them all over today. It's like, turn on your headlights. Come on, you stand out a little better.
And use your headlights. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, live with us this morning. Don't go away. We get an update on an issue that's going to have a big impact on milk prices. It's all right here.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwaba, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 8 to 10 on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. In dueling rallies last night before New Hampshire's polls opened, the last two Republicans vying for the presidential nomination accused each other of being unelectable.
If you want a losing candidate who puts America last, vote for Nikki Haley.
We can't be a country in disarray and have a world on fire and go through four more years of chaos because we won't survive it.
The six registered voters in Dixville Notch assembled just after midnight to cast their ballots, first of the first, all six voting Haley. On a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court ruled federal agents can remove razor wire fencing Texas put up in the Rio Grande to keep migrants out. Texas planning to keep the razor wire in place. That was quick. Hours after 29,000 faculty members in the California State University system went on strike, their union announced a tentative agreement declaring it makes major gains for the faculty members. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Hospital Sisters Health System announced Monday that they are closing two hospitals in western Wisconsin. The Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls will both close by the end of April. They say the closures are due to prolonged operational and financial stress placed on the hospitals that began with COVID. Vice President Kamala Harris was in suburban Waukesha County Monday while the legal battle over reproductive rights in Wisconsin wages on.
In a state whose motto is forward, these extremists are trying to take us backward. Well, we're not having that.
State lawmakers took testimony Monday on a bill to put a shorter window on legal abortion to a statewide referendum this spring. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks beat the Pistons again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee beat the Pistons in Detroit for the second time, 122-113, part of a two-game series. Chris Middleton with 26 points, surpassing the big dog Glenn Robinson as the third highest career scorer in Bucks history. He also had a few words with his teammates late in the game.
Just to take away confusion, that's all it was. So, you know, guys make their calls, stay with it. We all honor the call of what's being said out there. That's the only way we beat one team and we stay on the same page. That's all that was about.
The Bucks return to five-serve form Wednesday night for the start of a two-night stand against the Cleveland Cavaliers. NFL, the Packers continue meetings following their season-ending loss to the 49ers. I asked Preston Smith what he told the younger players that they need to be thinking about next.
You know, we got to have a championship offseason. We got to focus on the things that we can improve on and come out there and make sure that our weaknesses are our strengths now and that we improve on the things we're good at.
That's Packers linebacker Preston Smith. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey, everybody, Toddy's off, but Trygve Olsen's in the guest host chair. He has Joe Trippi and Stuart Stevens tomorrow at noon on the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio.
It is going to be cloudy with some areas of freezing drizzle, even a couple of snow showers possible today. Our high right around 34 this afternoon. Tonight we'll drop to 31, still a little light freezing drizzle or snow possible. And then tomorrow, cloudy with rain showers, 36. And we're going to keep it warm with highs well into the 30s through the rest of the week, the weekend, and beyond. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Even Republicans know what they don't like, Vivek.
As of this moment, we are going to suspend this presidential campaign.
Oh, this is like the Captain Kirk of goodbye speeches. I must leave the race
there
now.
Is no path to victory.
There is no path for
the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
It's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep
coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alma Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd, where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance. I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
In that position, right, Ebo, to have to do that? And then number two, he admits it.
Being with you makes us happy as pigs in mud. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Welcome back. I'm Stephanie Hoff, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. The fabulous Farm Babe will be emceeing the Ag Outlook Forum this morning and through the afternoon on the UW-Madison campus. Are you going to be there? Send us a text, 877-301-FARM. Again, our talk text line is 877-301-FARM. The Ag Outlook Forum starts at around 10 o'clock this morning and goes through the afternoon. You can find pictures by following the fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook. Aside from being a good day for the Ag Outlook Forum, the old Farmer's Almanac says you may also want to stay in and do some baking. If you just lick the batter, that's okay too. But I'll tell you what, the warm oven is going to feel a lot better than the wintry mix coming down today. Also, according to the old Farmer's Almanac, if you're heading to the sale barn today, you're in luck because, according to the moon, it's a good day to buy animals. Market advisor John Heinberg will be with us later in the hour to tell us whether that's going to be true or not. Today at the Agriculture Outlook Forum, we're going to learn a lot about the economic outlook for Wisconsin's top commodities, including dairy. But there's another issue that Wisconsin dairy organizations have been keyed in on this year. This marks the 11th week that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has collected testimony on proposed changes to the federal milk marketing orders. These complex guidelines literally dictate what dairy farmers will be paid for their milk. But when USDA finally arrives at recommendations, will Wisconsin dairy farmers have a voice in the final vote?
And now, Stephanie, the questions that a lot of producers are asking don't relate to the federal milk orders themselves, but instead a dairy farmer's right to vote on what happens with milk pricing policy going forward. I talked about it with Lucas Solstrom. He is with Minnesota Milk and also Edge Dairy Cooperative. And he said there's one little known fact that many dairy farmers need to pay attention to, and that is how the U.S. Department of Agriculture will vote on federal milk order changes.
If your plant did not pool during the month USDA selects, so USDA is going to select one month when they do the voting and say, you know, maybe it's February of 2023, that is the month. Anybody pooled in that month gets to vote nationwide, but anybody not pooled in that month doesn't get to vote. So that's a huge disadvantage for the upper Midwest, because in the Northeast and the Southeast, they're all going to be pooled. We're going to be disenfranchised somewhat as voters, and you know, our Edge members, there's been a lot of depooling here in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
So everything we've been complaining about, the members who were really affected the most might not even have a vote on the issue. So that just exasperates the matter of the problems that we see. Yes, there's things we can fix. I think there's a lot of common sense solutions that are going to come out of here. I don't want to say I'm excited for what USDA is going to put out, because I have no clue what they're going to put out, but I think they've got enough data to make some pretty good decisions that the industry is generally going to like. Maybe not what Lucas would like or what Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative would like, but it's going to be livable, and I think we'll have a positive vote on it. But if a large percentage of the industry can't even vote, and we're in an environment where you can't switch processors and speak against what your co-op board might have, or speak against where your processor might want you to vote, that's a dangerous situation of lost power for farmers. So I think that's something we need to think about and look at after this federal order hearing, is how do we make sure that people are able to vote, and how do we make sure that the people who are most affected each time are able to vote?
You touched on a soft nerve there, Lucas, black voting, because many dairy farmers will recall in their career a time when a vote was cast and it always seemed to be a black vote I had no clue about. you're advocating, have that conversation with your cooperative, your board members now.
Yeah, and like the calls I referenced in my federal hearing testimony, most of the calls came to me. So the calls came to me as Lucas Shostrom, executive director of Minnesota Milk, not as a fellow dairy farmer, not as just some guy who's a policy guy. They called me because they couldn't call their co-op. They called me because they couldn't call their processor. And so your board member, who's a fellow dairy farmer, is going to be your best avenue here. And I feel for people. Some dairy farmers are just stuck. And so we're trying to raise this with lawmakers. We raised it at the federal order hearing to say, hey, as you're considering all this, just remember, it's a time where farmers aren't able to speak openly like they used to be because they don't have an option B or C. They might barely have an option A.
Tricky terrain for any Wisconsin dairy producer, regardless of size. That's Lucas Shostrom with Minnesota Milk and Edge Dairy Cooperative. So even if USDA comes up with a great solution to federal milk marketing orders, will you as a Wisconsin dairy producer have a vote? For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm PM Yankee.
Let's take a look at our dairy prices on a Tuesday morning. From Chicago, the February Class 3 milk contract is trading down a penny at $15.88 a hundredweight. The March contract is unchanged at $16.13 a hundredweight. On the close yesterday, barrel cheese was unchanged from last week at $1.46¾. The 40-pound block cheese was up a nickel and a half at $1.50. And AA butter also closed unchanged from last week at $2.54½. I think the truth of the matter is that there's just no better way to refuel your body after a workout than with chocolate milk. At least that's the strong belief from students at Keele High School on the eastern side of the state. Charity Seebecker has the story.
Emmy Newberg, the Keele agriculture teacher and FFA advisor, has partnered with local dairy farms to supply every student involved with after-school curriculars chocolate milk. She says this project took about a year to make possible.
Our chocolate milk initiative is a program that gives students that are involved in extracurricular activities a chance to refuel their body with chocolate milk after their event. Any extracurricular activities are involved, so it can be basketball, lifting weights, wrestling, musical or play practice, anything like that. All of those students get the opportunity to refuel their bodies using chocolate milk.
How did this idea really come about? What was maybe the need behind why you guys created this?
One of the dairymen that is actually our big sponsor on this, they heard about this idea happening at another high school nearby. They then passed that idea along to one of our school board members, who's also a dairyman, that passed it along to myself, our FFA alumni and supporters, and the athletic director. So it took us probably a year to get this going. I think we learned about it last fall, but I didn't want to take that out of my first year teaching because that was a little bit too much for me. But I'm glad we got it started in my second year. I guess the real need is to educate, you know, the public or students or whoever in any instance, to educate them about agriculture, more specifically dairy. So when this idea was brought up, I was immediately intrigued and wanted to do it.
How do you select the dairy sponsors for each month?
When we really started working towards this, Julie from Soaring Eagle, she's the one who actually brought it to our attention. So she took the initiative on writing sponsor letters. So she kind of just wrote up a letter from her, myself, and then our athletic director, Steve Walsh. And she sent it to dairies in our Keele area school district, basically explaining the benefits and the importance of this program. We figured out a rough monthly cost to sponsor this program. So those dairies then sent in a check to the Keele FFA alumni. And right now we have 7 dairy farms who have contributed, and we have, you know, enough money or funds in that account to just continue sponsoring milk, at least throughout the end of the school year and going into next year. So we've had several local dairies that have sent in money to sponsor a month. Those dairies include Soaring Eagle Dairy, Drake Dairy, Beezy's, Fitz Pine, and so, so many more.
That was Emmy Newberg, the Keele agriculture teacher and FFA advisor. Chocolate milk has the perfect combination of carbohydrates and protein, which helps build lean muscles. Those combined with its electrolytes provides the perfect recovery drink. So the next time you're looking to refuel yourself, try some chocolate milk. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Thanks, Charity. And now if we take a look at our grain prices from Chicago, commodities are moving up. Cash corn is up a penny and a half at 447 and a quarter. December new crop corn is up a half a cent at 476 and three quarters. Cash beans are up 3.5 cents at 1227 and three quarters. And November new crop beans are up a half a penny at 1198 a bushel. Cash wheat is up 2.25 cents at 598 and three quarters. And July new crop wheat is up 2 pennies at 614 a bushel. Stick around because market advisor John Heinberg joins us next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try soon. Harry's is available online and in-store at a retailer near you. Get a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/quality. That's harrys.com/quality. Or check us out at your local Costco for a price you can't find anywhere else. Just look for the Chrome Razor with 13 blade refills at your local Costco. You can't miss it. Exclusive to Costco members.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
It's Mino. Join us Tuesday for Mino and the Mayor. Sandra Rank from Sandra Rank Realty joins us to talk about the real estate market at 7:30. Mino and the Mayor, 6 to 8 on WGBW and WISS.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Bringing home the bacon. Literally, this is the Midwest Farm Report.
And welcome back as we round out a Tuesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff. It's time now for our visit with market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. They're easy to get a hold of at totalfarmmarketing.com. John, I wanted to start with the fact that parts of Wisconsin are in a winter weather advisory today, and this comes after a freezing cold week last week. Just curious if this forecast is influencing any livestock or grain movements this week.
Well, I think it was a bigger factor last week in terms of the last couple of weeks with the cold, maybe more than the upcoming forecast. You know, obviously we dealt with the large snowstorm across the Midwest and those bitter cold temperatures that kind of slowed the movement down. We did, you know, talking to some producers, they got some pops in the basis as end users were looking for some bushels, whether corn or soybeans. And then on the livestock side, too, obviously in this type of weather, that cold, brutal weather like that, it's more about keeping the animals alive versus growing so it can kind of back up the cattle a little bit. You know, we saw a little bit of strength in the cash market, but we just all really saw the kill numbers kind of come down. So we'll have to see how that kind of works it through here now over the next few weeks and get those cattle lines and those hog lines back up to speed.
John, I've been going on and on this morning about how excited we are for the 2024 Agriculture Outlook Forum happening today at the UW-Madison campus. The fabulous Farm Babe will be emceeing. Charity and I will be in attendance. And John, you'll have a speaking role there as well. What points will you be bringing home today? You don't have to give too much away.
Sure, I'll be going down covering the grain markets and the outlook for 2024. And obviously, some, a couple of things I'm going to be focused on, where we are with price, where we are with supply. A couple of things we're going to be talking about here shortly, too, is just some of the demand aspects that are in the marketplace. And, you know, you got a tight window in terms of that presentation, so it's more of a broad brush today. But obviously, we can pick up a lot more of the information that we talk about here as we kind of go through the year.
Yeah. I know earlier in the show, I kind of focused on dairy a little bit here, John, because I knew you had a grain focus for us this morning. Corn being king right now, or I should say king cause of concern. Walk me through what you're hearing from USDA where corn has you a little uneasy.
Well, we need to continue to talk about the demand side of the equation. That's still the biggest problem that we're facing right now in the corn market. And just the impact of, the number one buyer of commodities in the world is China. And the impact of that South American supply that's really come into play. And we got ourselves a growing supply here in the United States. We saw that with the USDA changes on the last report. But let's just kind of get into some numbers very, very quickly. Right now, export sales for corn are actually pretty good compared to last year, but we have to understand how difficult last year was overall. And we still are well behind where we need to be over a multi-year pace. Big impact on a lot of that has been the Brazilian production of corn last year and what it's done to the markets. Now, we've seen China just step into the corn market extremely aggressively. USDA has got them forecasted to bring in about 26, 27 million metric tons of corn over the marketing year. 47% of that is forecasted to come out of Brazil. Now, just to show you the difference, last year in 2021, Brazil got minimal corn into China. So now they are basically replacing us very, very quickly as the world's corn supplier to that country. And even on the global scale, we look at it right now, United States and Brazil both export about 27% of the global corn supply individually. So U.S. at 27, Brazil at 27. And the biggest factor in this is now that Brazil has been a provider of corn into China, and that's limited our exports. And that's one of the biggest reasons for the market prices and the concerns that we're seeing now is that China's looking for a different route to go, and Brazil had those bushels at a cheaper price, and they continue to be a strong buyer of those commodities from that country.
John, is this geopolitical? Is it economic? And is it just corn?
It's a combination of all three factors. First off, Brazil had the market and the supplies there. Obviously, we can go into the whole geopolitical side with the microchips and what's been going on in that regard. So I really think it became an emphasis for China to look for sources that are still very available to them at a competitive price, and Brazil had that competitive price. There's still the number one marketer and purchaser in the world in terms of the Chinese and the Chinese government, and they are still one of the shrewdest marketers in the world. I know we kind of get tired of hearing about that overall, but if they find value, they buy value. And the last year, because of our tight supply the previous year and the overabundance of supply that Brazil had with their second crop, their exportable corn, it became an easy target for them to go into Brazil and pick up basically millions upon millions of bushels.
But it sounds like the story is the U.S. has corn to export. So is the demand trend going to turn around anytime soon? Are we going to be looking at other countries to pick up some of our bushels?
There's a couple different things that come into play. Now, the next few months here, basically January, February, March is our window to be the leader in the export market. The Brazilian market has kind of lost some of its supply. Argentina has been dealing with 2 years of drought, but they have a record corn crop pot forecasted for this year coming at us. So these next few months are vital, and we need to see those sales numbers really pick up as well as the shipment numbers for corn. And then we got to see what happens with that South American production. So it's going to be a very interesting point over the next few weeks here to see if we can get those numbers that we need that can help support price, on top of our large supply that we're trying to work through. At least that's what's forecasted out there.
And John, sometimes we pair, sometimes the soybean and corn trends kind of go together a little bit here. Is that the case in this situation as well?
It has, soybeans a little different situation because, again, we basically got those two major producers between us and Brazil. Argentina will be producing a very strong soybean crop, so they will be a factor here later into 2023 in terms of their supplies, or 24, excuse me. Corn's just been a little different because there's a lot of places that raise corn besides the United States, Brazil. You got Ukraine, you got South Africa, you got European corn. All those things kind of come into play. Hopefully corn market doesn't turn into the new wheat market where we see that shift in things. But again, it's just one of those ones where, you know, it came down to dollars and cents realistically, and the Brazilian corn is produced cheaply, and it goes onto the market cheaply because their focus is beans, not corn prices. Therefore, it makes it difficult for us to compete with our large and growing supply from last year.
John, in the last 30 seconds here, any reports to keep an eye on from USDA or otherwise in the next couple weeks?
Well, one big one I'm keeping an eye on, shifting gears again, we're going back to that cattle market, is going to be the cattle inventory report. We just got cattle on feed last week. We just don't think that cow herd's expanding, and those numbers are going to stay tight.
Market advisor John Heinberg along with us from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. You can reach them pretty easily by visiting totalfarmmarketing.com. John is also going to be speaking today at the 2024 Ag Outlook Forum on the UW-Madison campus. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Thanks for taking along with us on a Tuesday.
We're getting put out to pasture for today. Back tomorrow morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Navigating the wild world of carbon markets, today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Choosing the right carbon market for your farm or ranch, or even deciding to get involved in the carbon marketplace, is a daunting decision. Extension economist Alejandro Plastina and his colleagues at Iowa State University have been watching that show for some time.
Agriculture is not the only sector producing carbon credits or interested in producing carbon credits. Agriculture is competing with forestry and industrial sectors to remove carbon from the atmosphere.
Carbon markets pay farmers to implement conservation practices to offset the carbon footprints of companies and organizations that don't have the ability to do it themselves. Plastina says those conservation practices include
moving from conventional tillage to reduced or no tillage, reducing stocking rates on pastures, planting cover crops, planting trees, reducing fertilizer rates, converting marginal cropland to grassland, are all activities that throughout different carbon programs can generate carbon credits.
And says Plastina, these practice changes have to be a new thing.
Now, if you notice, the first word in each of those lines is a verb, and that requires that something changes with respect to the baseline.
We'll continue this story tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, WGBW.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, New Hampshire.